Somehow, some way, the Maple Leafs folks have life. Onwards and upwards, we go to Game 5 on Sunday. It's time for Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick. Many thanks to Sam McKee and Technical Ops Show Ali for putting the show on the road here. But my goodness, Gord Stellick, even minutes after that winner on the power play in OT, I still can't comprehend what I've witnessed here on my birthday tonight.
I was going to say, who had the better birthday, Sidney Crosby or Nick Alberga?
And my goodness.
We know about Sidney Crosby. I said last night, came on, and I said to you, Nick, this is like a crime scene, and you're trying to discuss to the police what exactly happened, and you're slowly trying to remember all the facts because it was so surreal. Yeah, this is like you got to bring the FBI or RCMP in. This is unbelievable. This is... I was ready to talk about the Leaf season ending with a whimper, not a bang. I was looking at little things like the comparable that the top three Leaf players make $33 million, the top three Columbus players make $18 million, you know, things like that, like all these types of things, because that was it. It was Columbus was ready, and you're going to give the Leafs a little bit of marks, but all in all, it was going to be a postmortem of a bitter variety, given what happened last night and the way they appeared to go out. What the hell happened, Nick? No, overtime's a standalone thing. That's great. Anything can happen. Yeah. We can talk about Austin Matthews coming up with a big goal. You know, our buddy Bruce Boudreau started it years ago, or Patrick Waugh did. Bruce said he followed suit in Anaheim when Patrick Waugh started in Colorado, pulling the goaltender early when you're down by two goals. And he had a couple of instances back then that they came back to tie, and that went on for a little bit, but really the last couple of years, we talk about when you pull the goaltender, there's so many empty net goals now because that seems like an automatic. And Pierre-Luc Dubois,
he
put that in the side of the net in the plastic with the goaltender out, and I think it was 3-2 at that point, but whatever. So, wow. I good on the Leafs. It's for Leaf fans that have had too many surreal moments, and there's still a Game 5 to come. This one, I could never, ever, ever have predicted exactly how this thing would play out this way. Not a Leaf win or whatever, but down 3-0 and Morgan Rielly snapping his stick and just, you know, really, really embodying all that Leaf fans were feeling on the bench. And to talk about it now after a 4-3 overtime win, I still have to get reeducated.
Yeah, I have absolute goosebumps right now, Gordon. Just the fact that it was like John Tavares read my tweet. I put it out with about 5 minutes remaining. John Tavares, his struggles in the series was a -5 at that point, had one goal. And next thing you know, it's the leadership core that grabs this team by the you-know-what and says, you know, we're going to do this thing. And, you know, I think Andrew Raycroft, former Maple Leafs netminder, had a great tweet. How many people would have left the building knowing Leafs Nation, Gord? We love Leafs Nation, passionate crowd base. But I mean, it was a disappointing night at the ballpark, so to speak. How many people would have left thinking the Leafs were finito, can't get back in the building, and they mount one of the most insurmountable comebacks you can imagine in this day and age? We shouldn't be shocked, Gord, because it's 2020, and perhaps it's too premature, but who cares because it's 2020. Is this the Kawhi galvanizing moment this Maple Leafs team needed, Gordo?
Okay, well, then we got to talk about looking forward, and we'll find out, because this was the one we talked about, but then some. When Kawhi, you know, when Kawhi's shot hit the iron 4 times, and three mm-hmm. of those times it looked like it should bounce out and went in. We were talking about one basket for a team that was competing hard and, you know, was in it. This team wasn't in it when they mm-hmm. were down 3-0.
It was over.
And you know, there was a good synopsis on Hockey Night in Canada about the different goals that Kevin Bieksa said. Okay, you need a greasy goal. They finally got it, the first one by Nylander. And then to your point, the skill player needed to come through, and John Tavares, that's a wonderful shot. That's a beautiful shot.
Snipe,
and then the
yeah.
last one, one thing we've talked about, at times the Leafs have been guilty of overpassing, and in this case, Austin Matthews passing it to Hyman. You know, probably the Columbus players weren't expecting it. I cannot believe this, Nick.
There are no words, Gord.
it's a giddiness if you're a Leaf fan. It's a real giddiness to have all these things we talked about before. And then, you know, and again, good on the team. It's not like you're going to talk, hey, a stroke of luck, stroke whatever. The team talked about it after Game 3. They believed in themselves a lot of things. And up till, 4 minutes left in the game, you know, it just looked like all talk. And I wasn't ready to bury and trash them, but in general,
I was.
Well, I guess you're not wrong that way in the sense. I mean, given yesterday's game, but I mean, it wasn't horrible, but it was an inexcusable result given yesterday. So now Columbus, what are they thinking? Like, what are they thinking? Like, this is the team yesterday, Chris Johnson said, you're up 3 goals against Columbus, which is like being up 7 goals because they don't score goals. One thing they do is prevent goals. And in this case, they couldn't. Now, quiet thing, who's not on the ice? Zach Werenski, right? All of a sudden, wow. You're Jake Muzzin type void. And all of a sudden, Seth Jones, Zach Werenski weren't the big two on the ice. But that's part of what the playoffs are about. So, you know, what the Leafs faced without Jake Muzzin, the Columbus Blue Jackets all of a sudden got a big dose of it without Zach Werenski.
Gord, I cannot believe, and again, it's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick here on Leafs Nation postgame. If you missed the action, you missed a crazy, frantic finish. The Maple Leafs were down and out in this series, down 3-0 in the final 5 minutes of play, tie it up in the final minute, go off to OT, and it's Austin Matthews. Who else on the power play? Again, second half of this game, he was outstanding. You know, just more so the fact that I think you look at this game and how lethargic Toronto was for 55 minutes. I can't fathom how it took that long. They look like a wounded dog in this game, Gord, for 55 minutes. And it seemed like they never really recovered. And I had it in my notes as we prepared for the broadcast tonight in anticipation of a loss here. And again, you got to play the full game. But I had it in my notes that they lost this series, potentially the last game when they blew that lead. But I mean, you could never have guessed in your wildest dreams that would have happened. But, you know, as a Leafs fan, still hesitant in OT, Toronto came out strong. You know, Freddie Anderson deserves a lot of credit. And the big marquee moment for me in OT was that shot block by Travis Dermott. Was unbelievable. His teammates were hugging him after. But you can't help but get giddy, Gord. I like you use that word. And just more so, you got to temper yourself as well and understand. But as soon as, you know, they score that goal and as they tie the game, you start to wonder. I think we've been waiting for that galvanizing moment for this Leafs team, not only here in the postseason, but in the entire season. And you wonder if this kicks them in the ass a bit and gets them going a tad.
I mean, you look at a day earlier that Chicago dispensed of Edmonton and Montreal dispensed of Pittsburgh. So, you know, it's just an unusual day, an unusual time. And, you know, Nick, talking about it before, we talked a bit about it last night, is that these 3-goal deficits in the playoffs, and again, we didn't really have time to fully absorb it yesterday because it all happened so quick, much like Columbus is feeling right now. But our buddy Stevie Fallon at Sportsnet comes out with the stats so quickly. And so we went through other 3-goal deficits the Leafs had, or 3-goal leads, and they've blown. Right off the bat, Game 7, 2013, something, a raw sore that Leaf fans will never forget. And then it went on just to a couple more, and one even back in 1986 when I was with the Leafs, and I right away, 3-goal lead against the St. Louis Blues, and it was one game, but we lost in 7. But yeah, right away, it struck all those chords with me. There was one against Ottawa, but you know what? They beat Ottawa, so it didn't matter. I didn't even remember it, because every time they beat Ottawa, so they lost one game, they led by 3, and they blew it. I don't even remember it. So all you can do to erase those is come back and win it, win the series, and that's what I was saying before the game. So to forget about last night, you have to come back and win the series. Now, you know, maybe this is because of this today. I can't even, but that's what you have to do. That's how horrible and unusual what happened last night is. And then you take it and you don't double down, you triple down, quadruple down compared to what Columbus did to you last night. It's unbelievable. I don't know.
Yeah, no. It's lost for words, honestly.
It's the ball going through Bill Buckner's legs all those years ago, right? It's one of those kind of things when, like, you are done, and you and I are thinking about whether it's trashing the postmortem, whatever, an incredibly disappointing finish, given all. And now, you know, and still, if they lose in Game 5, you know, we'll wait for Game 5 to think about that. But, and again, as I spitball, how about Nick Foligno and how pissed off he was at the end of the game about the penalty call? I mean, the Leafs get, you know, they get the penalty call and they capitalize on it quite quickly.
It really is incredible, and no doubt about it, the captain of the Jackets was really fired up about that call. I think it was pretty black and white in terms of how it happened. He put his stick into the skates, and maybe I'm a bit biased because I'm a Leafs fan, but credit to the Maple Leafs, again, because they had been struggling on the power play, Gord. Last I checked, 2 for 12 in this series, but unnoticed on the play was the ragu sauce, the great sauce pass by John Tavares, who really, really elevated his play because I didn't think he was particularly good again in this game. It was a struggle down the stretch, but he picked up a couple points, and that was a $11 million a year pass he made to Austin Matthews. That was incredible stuff, and Matthews a great finish as well.
Yeah, and again, when we talk about the money, you know, the guys go out and play hard, but you know, the point being is they need to deliver, and sometimes you can't force them to deliver, but that's a fact for the Leafs that they have, and if they still, even if they have the playoff disappointment in Game 5, just in general, you know, they got a team that in the salary cap world should be getting success because you got a lot of money tied up in a number of people that have not had a small number that have not had playoff success. But you know, Nick, with 5 minutes left, like I was hard pressed to come on here and bring up plays just like you discussed. Like were you? Like when they're down 3-0, like I was hard pressed to say. And Nick, remember at the 7 minutes in the second period?
I know it was a postmortem for me, Gordo. I was going to talk about the off season with you, Gray. Frankly,
well, the Columbus scored early.
Yeah,
relatively early, and then they just were in control. Like I the old sign guy at Philadelphia or sign there's whatever sign guy like never in doubt was, you know, I thought that was up last night for the Maple Leafs. Never in doubt tonight. I thought they could have papered never in doubt signs all around Scotiabank Arena, and it would have accepted it. I imagine a lot of people out there listening, you're the same. We all get texts from friends, Leafs Nation friends, the texts.
Oh my God.
To look back on them now, it's like somebody, you know, writing a letter when they've had a little too much to imbibe, and then waking up regretting the letter they wrote, you know? But this is just a bevy of people venting their frustration and now don't fully know what to do. And to go back, imagine you talk about the crowd leaving tonight. I mean, what in general, booing them? What about the booing? Yeah. Like it would have started after 1-0. This would have been, and I don't want a world where people can't go to games. Okay. I want full houses and games again, but that would have been, that's the kind of world we're talking about. So we've said it a few times. I really do think no crowd under these unfortunate circumstances isn't a bad thing for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And tonight was a perfect example.
Gordo, a two-pronged question for you. Does Dean Kukin play in Game 5 of this series, and how much credit does Jason Spezza get for initiating something, which I couldn't believe? You know, a veteran player in the twilight of his career is the one who steps up to invigorate the team, because they show the passion level was minimal in this hockey game, at least in terms of intensity. Spezza gets the scrap, and next thing you know, the Maple Leafs, and maybe it's not fair to correlate it, but I think Spezza deserves a lot of credit. That fourth line was very, very noticeable again in this one, weren't they?
Well, in a year that's had way too many dysfunctional things happen, one of them from the start, and one reason why at the end of it, you know, Mike Babcock and when Mitch Marner's situation was public about a couple years earlier when he asked him to do that list about the hardest working Leafs and things like that, you know, really were brought into question. But this one we all knew because he publicly chastised Jason Spezza at training camp. And you kind of said, again, the bewilderment about what is going on here started with Maple Leaf fans. And, you know, and that's where they got off on the wrong foot, never got going. And Jason Spezza, the guy's a consummate pro. Jason Spezza needs to be treated with respect. He's a guy who came to Toronto by choice. And then you look tonight, fourth line was the second best line out there, which is more an indictment of the other lines. And then to do something, you know, knowing you got to try to spark the team, and he goes and does it. And I you know, that might have been one of the positives I was going to talk about in the postmortem. You know, at least he showed some fight that way. And then all the other craziness happened in a surreal short period of time.
The nuclear line, I think anointed actually by Chris Johnson, who we expect to talk to later on, still in disbelief, I'll be quite honest, because Gordon and I are ready to write our postmortem obituary on this Maple Leaf season, how disappointing it was going to be. And then Toronto, they did the Toronto to the Columbus Blue Jackets, which is incredible. A team known for blowing 3-goal leads in the playoffs actually does it themselves. And finally, some hope here in Leafs Nation, a 4-3 OT win. Austin Matthews, the OT winner for Toronto, forcing a Game 5. Toronto will be the home team coming up on Sunday. Still getting started here on Leafs Nation postgame. You're not going to miss anything. We'll hear from Sheldon Keefe. We'll go inside and hear some of the players as well. No doubt, potentially Austin Matthews, and get you set as well for Game 5, not to mention Chris Johnson of Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick at the Gold Muzzy at Gord Stellick on Twitter, and you're listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. The job is not done, but the jubilation continues here in Toronto after a shocking, unbelievable comeback in which the Maple Leafs are down 3-0 late in the third period. Storm back, send it to OT, and Austin Matthews on the power play has the Maple Leafs a 4-3 win here in game 4-4, a decisive game 5 coming up on Sunday. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick here on Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan at the Gold Muzzy at Gord Stellick, where you can follow along on Twitter. Again, we hope to hear from Chris Johnston of Sportsnet, Sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada. Got to hear from Sheldon Keefe, potentially Austin Matthews, and others. And Gord, it's still, you know, 30, 40 minutes after this hockey game has concluded. I still can't believe what transpired there. And I'm so looking forward to game 5 because I think you get a bit fired up and a bit pumped up the way the Maple Leafs played in, you know, the last 15 minutes, we'll say, of this hockey game. They were all over the puck. They were hounding it. Not to mention Zach Werenski went down, did not return. You hate to see injuries, but that's a monumental loss for the Columbus Blue Jackets if he can't play going forward. But, you know, for as much as we talk, Gord, about Toronto, how they would respond in the back-to-back after that inflating loss, you start to wonder about Columbus now after what happened here.
Yeah, you know, because all that I said, I like from the Leaf point of view that they played relatively quick because you can try to forget about the loss and get right back at it. But, you know, when they were down 3-0, what difference did that make from Toronto? So now, yeah, this is such a distant memory for the Columbus Blue Jackets. I mean, yesterday the Leafs blew it in, what was it, 30 or 25 minutes, and here they blew it in 4 minutes. Like, can John Tortorella pull one more, you know, trick or whatever out of his sleeve? I just, you know, to go back to the Toronto side, and, you know, it's funny, you mentioned, Nick, if it was not the, well, still the pandemic here, I know things have opened up a bit. This would be Crazyville. This would be fun. This would not be shut down. Well, maybe it would be shut down.
Party on King Street, right?
Yeah, party. Well, party a few places. King Street, where you will be, just in general, because anywhere you go is a party,
yes.
And it's your birthday.
Two cats.
So
yes.
Why wouldn't
cats.
It be? Yeah, two cats, one cat, three cats. It would
shout
be a party.
Shout out two cats.
But I was thinking when they were down 3-0, and I just said, like, real disappointing, bitter playoff losses, and quite often mm-hmm. you reach the end of your rope. And a couple of years ago now, it was a sweep, but when the Raptors lost that series, like, if you started that series, there's no way Dwayne Casey's going to be fired for the next year, but he was. He made a coaching change, and Nick Nurse came in, and it made Masai decide, I got to take a chance in this Kawhi Leonard situation because I got to do something really revolutionary and radical. Now, you can't get one guy in hockey to do what Kawhi Leonard did for the Raptors last year, but I was wondering, I wasn't saying Sheldon Keefe or Kyle Dubas was going to get fired, nor was I advocating for it, but I was wondering if this, when it was 3-0, given what happened last night, and would not result in something comparable. Now, mm-hmm. I don't know what to think. And then you bring up Columbus as well. And I don't know what to think about Columbus if they go on and lose game number 5. I don't know. It's just, it's going to be an incredibly bitter pill to swallow for either side, but right now it's more bitter for Columbus.
The quotes are in, by the way, Gord, on John Tortorella and his post-game presser. Roughly a minute in length. The first question, you got the answer there, Hedge. Brian Hedger, the question. Number 2, you said it. I'm not going to explain anything. And number 3, I haven't talked to the trainers. You would have to assume that question was about Zach Werenski. End scene. And Tortorella's night was over with the media. So pretty much shows you how John Tortorella, the head coach of the Columbus Blue Jackets, feels about that. But just what a roller coaster of emotions, Gord, in 24 hours that we're sitting here 24 hours ago talking about the Maple Leafs. Will they show life? Will they show fight? And I don't know that answer, quite frankly. It took a long, 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 long time. But with 5 minutes remaining, something clicked. The nuclear line got together. They scored the first grinding goal from Willie Nylander. And the rest is history. And the fact that we're able to sit here and set up a game 5 in early August is tremendous to me, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. No, it is. And then, you know, and again, what we will, if they happen to lose and compete in game number 5, is that enough? And maybe in some ways, because they have not done this historically in the playoffs. Like, they have found ways to have defeat snatched from the jaws of victory. And I don't remember, like, I'll remember like Jake Gardner goal in overtime against Boston once, or, you know, whatever. Mitch Marner had that great game last year in one of the games, like certain things like that. But as much as it was 7 years apart from that horrible game seven memory, and I stressed with Nazem Kadri gone and Jake Gardner gone, there were nobody left on the 2020 Leafs last night that were part of what happened in 2013. On the other side, I don't know the last time the Leafs have come back from a three-goal deficit in the playoffs, and I certainly know never, never have they come back from a three-goal deficit in that kind of fashion in the last 4 minutes.
Via NHL PR, and again, that's Gord Stellick. I'm Nick Alberga here in Leafs Nation postgame. I was getting set to potentially do the final Leafs Nation postgame of the season. So happy we have another one at least coming up for Game 5 Sunday. Don't know the start time just yet. Maybe we find out by the end of the night. But NHL PR, Gord, the Maple Leafs are the first team in NHL history to overcome a deficit of 3-plus goals to win a game after surrendering a lead of 3-plus goals to lose their previous contest, regular season or post. Like, that stat is tremendous. Just, again, you want to talk about Leafs Nation, the roller coaster of emotions felt strictly in the last 24 hours, notwithstanding the Alexis Lafreniere conversation that probably would have been had on this program had the Leafs lost, is pretty surreal to me. Like, I'll always remember this birthday, Gordo.
Yeah, you will. And one, you know, was one like of it's... my, yeah, and that was one of my other topics is, okay, the Leafs are joining Pittsburgh and Edmonton in the Alexis Lafreniere lottery Monday night. And those are the three teams that the consensus would be among the other 28. I'd say the Leafs still third, Pittsburgh and Edmonton more, but least deserving of getting the number one overall pick. And, you know, now anyway, it's kind of a moot point. It's kind of a moot point because we'll see what happens on Sunday and who joins, but I certainly have softened my opinion and assessment, even though I believe the Leafs have no business not winning this series, and that's what I said at the start, and I didn't mean that as a flippant comment because I respect whoever the opponent is, and playoff hockey is a bit different, but really it's time. It's year four. It's year four for all these guys, all these guys that are stars. It's year four without ever having a playoff series win, and you know, they could do that Sunday, but I'm still making semblance of today and commending them and giving them, you know, Morgan Riley thought they were done. I mean, it just, you know, good on them for carrying on. And then in overtime, when Columbus could have got it back, you know, the Leafs got really finally an Auston Matthews kind of highlight reel goal to win it.
Look, I'll say this, and Leafs fans, most credible ones, know this. I don't think Freddie Anderson will ever get the respect. Any goalie who plays in Toronto, for that matter, will ever get the respect. I thought he made some big-time saves. Again, the play I circled in OT was the block shot by Travis Dermott. Gord, let's not forget, things got rather frantic a couple times defensively. I'm not going to mention his name. There was a guy on the back end who gave away the puck a couple times. It is what it is. You're tired. Dermott had some giveaways. Riley had some giveaways. You know, I get it. There's a lot of pressure on OT to succeed. And, you know, the important thing is they did overcome, you know, the odds of this hockey game, came back to score that. And credit to the power play. They've been struggling. It took them a while. Had one power play goal coming into this game. Score there on a great pass from John Tavares just 10 seconds after the Nick Foligno penalty. So the Maple Leafs deserve a lot of credit. Again, we don't know how we were going to have this conversation if things had gone awry and they didn't come back, but they deserve a lot of credit for the execution there, Gordon. You know, to set up Game 5 already on Sunday, you would have to think, you know, they go back to the well with the nuclear line, right? And we see much more of that nuclear line with John Tavares, Mitch Marner, and Auston Matthews, because Gord, they were unstoppable there in you know, the final 15 minutes of this hockey game, weren't they?
Yeah, and what added to the confusion last night, Nick, was the fact that Sheldon Keefe, instead of talking about blowing a lead, just said that they deserved what they got because he was not happy from his team from the drop of the puck. Now, we're watching and we're just going, I don't know. Whenever you play sports and you're playing on a hockey team and you're up 3-0, you know, you're not delving into the minutiae so much. So upon saying that, then a little bit of that or a part of that is shared with the coaching staff. If they saw that, why not were not certain tweaks and adjustments made? And this game, you know, he made a lot of them, even when they were going to lose 3-0, so it appeared. He had tried some of those tweaks. One you mentioned about getting that magnificent line together. The other one was getting the fourth line playing more and just, you know, a little bit about that, because much like John Tortorella pulling Corpusalo, quite often you got to do something to show the team that you're trying to do something.
And it's always fun to talk about fights, and maybe, you know, Brian Burke loved it for sure. The Jason Spezza scrap with Dean Kukin. Who knows if that got the bench going, but they seemed fired up to see Spezza drop the gloves, and he chucked them pretty good. And you started to wonder there, could it have been Jason Spezza's final game as a Maple Leaf, final game in the National Hockey League? And it won't be, because the Maple Leafs have life and they have a game five coming up against Columbus on Sunday. You know, Gord, I thought it was also curious on the back-to-back that John Tortorella elected to make some lineup changes. Nathan Gerby came in. You know, they made a change in the back end. Scott Harrington, the revenge night for him playing the Maple Leafs, part of the Kasperi Kapanen, Phil Kessel deal with Pittsburgh back in the day. But they made some changes, and I wondered if Columbus could be fresher to finish off the game because they had some guys who didn't play the night before. I was wrong, and I think you put stock into the off-season training for some of these juggernaut players on this team because they played a lot, Gord. You know, I was chuckling watching this game as we prepped for the show, even before Toronto came back, that it would have been fun to you to discuss the fact that we wouldn't naysay the ice time for, you know, the big boys, right? Because they played a lot in this hockey game, Gordo.
Well, and, you know, chatting about with Mike Rupp about that a while ago, and Mike thought youth really will be served in this, in that when he was a veteran, he just said, you know, your conditioning was kind of a year-long plan. But when you're a kid, you know, 21, 22, I know you're getting older with your birthday now, but,
yeah,
you know, it's kind of like you can, it doesn't matter. You're just always in shape. You very quickly get it back. And, you know, for very few of us, it's playing in the NHL. A lot of us, it's kind of a weekend going on a binge Friday and then getting up at 7 a.m. Saturday like nothing happened. And then all of a sudden, mm-hmm. 10 years later, the same scenario, you're kind of saying, boy, Saturday, I wasn't able to move very much, you know. And, yeah, you know, good on the conditioning of the Leaf players, good on the conditioning programs, but also the youth that way. I don't think anyone ever questions about people being in shape nowadays, but yeah, they played a phenomenal number of minutes, and there were moments, you know, when you like I look at as well, like even in the Montreal Pittsburgh game when you look at Claude Julien would try to sneak his fourth line out there for an offensive faceoff, yeah, or third defense pair just for a bit because he shortened the bench, and that's what you do in playoffs, and the Maple Leafs, I don't know how much they shortened it, but they certainely restacked it, and the guys that had to play a ton of minutes. Yeah, they really played. That's why it was weird. You know, if you're going to do the postmortem, yeah, you know, it's kind of like you were saying, I almost wish they really sucked, period, from the drop of the puck.
It's
like,
true.
Like the New York Rangers played and getting swept against Carolina. There was more to take issue with the Rangers games than thinking about, wait a sec, we were eight periods into this and they were playing great. And the other part, Nick, is here we go again. They cannot figure out Elvis Merzlikins. Like, you can't have it twice. You can't have two goalies pull the
air. You know, he went on a streak, Gordo. You're right. He went on a streak of 58 saves in a row, Gord. But I think they've solved them now, no?
Well, but that's what Korpisalo did, basically, yeah, the same thing.
I know.
To start. I don't know who has solved what. We always said 2020, this unique setup was the X factor of all X factors of all X factors. And we've just seen that in the last two nights in so many ways.
I'm just thankful we got a game five. We got to do another Leafs Nation post game. Again, it's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick here on Leafs Nation post game on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, at the Golden Muzzy, at Gord Stellick. And the highlight for me was Mr. Sokolov, Zach Hyman, scoring the tying goal and the celebration that ensued. You sort of forgot there was no crowd in the building. I was fired up watching this game. There's no doubt about that. And I just hope I don't get the email, you know, for my condo for a noise complaint, but I'll stomach it because the Maple Leafs win this game in OT 4-3, a power play tally for Austin Matthews after coming back down 3-0 a night after they blew a 3-goal lead. The post game starting to roll in. We'll hear now from the OT hero, Austin Matthews, and also the man who potentially ignited it all, Jason Spezza.
Austin, what's that moment like for you? And you see that goal go in after coming back from a 3-0 deficit.
I mean, I don't really know what to really feel in the moment, to be honest. I think your mind just kind of goes blank. And, you know, I think it's a credit to every single guy on our team for just sticking with it, battling back, and just not quitting. You know, down 3-0 with a couple minutes left, I think that's a testament to each guy in this locker room. And, you know, I think everybody should be extremely proud of each other.
Next question from the media center.
Terry Koshan, Toronto Sun. This one's for you, Jason. You've been around this game a hell of a long time. Do you remember anything like that last 4 minutes, anything comparable that you've been through?
Yeah, no, I've never been a part of anything like that. You know, with the firepower we have with these guys, the way they can put the puck in the net, we're never out of it. And there's a great sense of belief in our group. And, you know, we stuck with it the whole way and got some big goals by some big players.
Next one upstairs.
Josh Klipper, the Canadian Press for Austin. This core has taken a lot of criticism the last few years. What did you guys show tonight?
I think just resilience. I think you're going to go through ups and downs here, and I think we've definitely been through our share of ups and downs, and I think that's just kind of par for the course here. So, I mean, I think you just try to stick with it, focus on what we can control, and focus on what we have in the locker room, and just stick together and play as a team.
Next one in the media center.
Luke Fox, Sportsnet. Jason, you don't have very many fights in your career. What were your emotions coming into this game, and what made you drop the gloves tonight?
Well, just trying to spark the guys. I think just, you know, trying to show some desperation and have some pushback. And sometimes, you know, without the crowd, you don't have that. So just trying to create some emotion and, you know, play the role that I'm in and just try to, you know, get everyone going. You know, you're just trying to do what you can do at this time of year.
Take a few more from the media center up next.
Mark Masters, TSN for Austin. Austin, how would you describe what the mood was like with 4 minutes left and the deficit you were facing? Did you sense something might be coming? What were you seeing and feeling from the group?
I mean, I think once we got one, you know, pretty quickly there, you know, we just wanted to keep pushing and keep pressing, and we got two, and, you know, obviously we still had some time left, and, you know, we still got a game there. So I think it just kind of rallied everybody, got everybody excited, gave us a little bit of an extra boost. And then obviously being able to tie it up and force overtime, you know, you definitely felt that kind of momentum shift.
Last one from the media center.
Jonas Siegel, The Athletic. Austin, what's the strategy in a situation like that, 6-on-5? Like, is there anything, is it just put pucks to the net?
Yeah, I think it's kind of find space, have some guys coming in downhill. I mean, the way they play 5-on-5, obviously they're, you know, they're very tight to the net and they kind of play five guys inside. And, you know, when we got the six guys out there, I thought we did a pretty good job of just kind of spreading them out and had a guy at the net and able to sneak a couple in there.
Loving those dual podiums, Jason Spezza and Austin Matthews, the mustached one with the OT winner here on the power play, a 4-3 win. Your thoughts, Gord Stelick?
You know, I'm really glad that nobody says nobody believed in us. We were, you know, I hate that crap. I hate that crap because, you know, you saw Morgan Riley just crush a stick, and there's no better competitor than Morgan Riley, but that's certainly what all was sharing when they were down by three. So, you know, good on them for doing it, but it's not like the world is against you or the fans are against you. You dug a deep hole that only you controlled getting out of, and somehow you control getting out of it. So I love having those two guys on because they were both huge reasons why they did. Austin Moore for his skill nowadays. Jason Spezza, you know, he's got to have so many bitter memories, not of three-goal deficits, but Ottawa Senators.
I know.
Playoff disappointments, right?
Sure.
A lot of them were the hands of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And, you know, the thing about the Leafs right now, I was just thinking, Nick, is these guys have to make a mark, like Matt Sundin, Gary Roberts, Curtis Joseph, Thomas Caberle, Darcy Tucker. Like, just get some playoff series in your belt because you got to do that the next step. And it still remains to be seen whether they will do that on Sunday. But again, as I try to think it through, I do think this is the first great watershed moment for this team about dealing with this particular kind of adversity after last night, but also being down three with less than 5 minutes to go.
And I said it sort of jokingly that could this be the Kawhi moment for the Maple Leafs, but I just so meant could it be the galvanizing moment we've been looking for? Not that I'm stepping back on it, because I do firmly believe it could be the moment that we've been waiting for this Maple Leafs team to finally get over that hurdle, at least win a series, have some, you know, breath and move on and get some confidence. But we'll see what's in store. I mean, ultimately, we get to a game five and this conversation potentially, hopefully not, could be a lot different. But no doubt we're feeling good about life tonight. The Maple Leafs winning 4-3 in overtime on a power play goal from Austin Matthews after they came back from a 3-0 deficit in the last 5 minutes to play here in game four. Just mayhem. That's pretty much the only word I can use at this point in time. It's Nick Alberga and professional broadcaster extraordinaire Gord Stelick. Continuing to break this one down, we hope to touch base with Chris Johnson, who took this one in at Scotiabank Arena, and also hear potentially from Zach Hyman and others as we roll on here on Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Blue Jackets win the draw. Riley Nash got it, but they don't get the clear. Riley holds the puck in. Centering pass, Tavares right in front. Picks off, score! Kasperi Kapanen. sorry, it was Austin Matthews coming off that wing and pounded it in.
The call there from Jim Houston on CBC and the OT winner via the power play by Austin Matthews. What a great sauce pass by John Tavares, the captain, to set him up. And the Maple Leafs suddenly have life with a 4-3 OT win after Nick Foligno, the captain of the Jackets, took a tripping penalty. Toronto scores in OT after coming back down from 3-0 with less than five minutes remaining in the third period. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick here on Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan at the Golden Muzzy. At Gord Stellick. Gord, I'm still getting goosebumps. I don't care where I'm hearing that call. I can't wait to watch the highlights when we get off the air as well.
Yeah, I mean, Jim Houston, a great play-by-play guy. I didn't realize he called it Kasperi Kapanen initially, but
24 and 34, pretty easy to mess up.
We've all done things like that, to say the least, but it was so vintage Austin Matthews, and it was just, that was one that overtime we got a chance to get our bearings again and kind of watch overtime and know next goal won, and there was some closeness both ways. But those other three goals, you're almost trying to catch your breath and go over it all.
You're right. We're looking to touch base in mere moments as well with Chris Johnson of Sportsnet, Sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada. We do have some Zach Hyman that we're hoping to play here, potentially some Sheldon Keefe as well as we look forward, Gord. I can't believe I'm saying it. Game 5 on Sunday, and the Maple Leafs will be the home team. What a big road victory for them tonight, Gord.
I mean, they probably were the only team that would have left the bubble night, you know, because probably most teams leave the next day. There's a lot of rangers. You can't just get your charter together, but man, it would have been a real sad
quick Uber home, or a Lyft home.
Whatever home, but man, it would have been a sad end to whatever went on. And here we got this. Like I said this morning, in all honesty, I wanted all six teams who were facing elimination to win, just because I love game fives or game sevens. And they weren't following script. Teams were getting eliminated. Some huge surprises. But we're going to get a game five anyway in the Toronto-Columbus series, whether we get any more.
Yeah, and I think case in point, this is why the NHL worked tirelessly, vigorously towards a comeback for a day like this, Gord, in general, not just talking about this game, to see the upsets we saw, the 12 seed. Watch out for the 12 seed in both conferences, Chicago and Montreal. Your thoughts on that, Gordo?
Well, exactly. And you know that getting Carey Price to play in a series was huge. And that was a big part for Montreal against Pittsburgh and Chicago. Man, it just showed youth be served. This wasn't it. The guys with the Stanley Cup rings had one more kick at it. And Corey Crawford had a huge playoff. And Edmonton didn't get the goaltending. He didn't get the D. So in the unique year 2020, although we got results last year, the only thing is we're getting these two wins by two teams that had no business at the time of the pause of ever even thinking they would be in the playoffs.
Yeah, mention your adjective. What a night, what a day in Stanley Cup qualifying action. To talk more about this crazy Leafs victory, 4-3 in OT, so happy to bring in a man who took in this game from Scotiabank Arena, a crowdless Scotiabank Arena. It's Chris Johnson of Sportsnet, Sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada. Do you still have goosebumps figuring out what transpired tonight and what you watched?
Well, I'm willing to let you guys in on a dirty little secret since we're all friends. When you cover a game like this and you're doing my job, you don't always have any way to put your mind around everything that's happening and unfolding in real time. You know, I don't have Jim Houston's voice in my ear making sense of everything and Craig Simpson. And that was truly bizarre. Certainly unexpected from where I was sitting. You know, I'd actually written the obituary on the Leafs season that I have to file a story to the website at the buzzer. And I was saying that they were going quietly into the night because, you know, I really didn't think the Leafs had a whole ton of push in this game or just wasn't able to really break through too much. And then lightning struck and they scored three goals with goaltender pulled, which I know happened in an Anaheim-Edmonton series a couple years ago, but certainly isn't anything I've ever witnessed. And, they play on. What a crazy 24, 25 hours or whatever here.
To your point, the old thing about the season ending with a whimper, not a bang, was what I was thinking. Just I really thought, wow, they kind of continued from what happened last night. And you know, we're trying to put everything in context. And I said yesterday, you came on and we were like two people at a car accident scene trying to describe to the police officers what happened. Well, now we're on Dateline or 2020 or 48 hours with the FBI and RCMP talking about a serious crime and trying to put it all together. I'm trying to put in context, is this enough to get this Leaf team to where Matt Sundin and Gary Roberts and Curtis Joseph and Thomas Caberle, like an element of playoff success, which has eluded them just by virtue of the first time under incredible circumstances they've come back from adversity in a playoff game where usually it's been the other way around to come up with the kind of result they did tonight?
Well, you know, I certainly think it changes everything potentially for these core players on the team. I mean, I actually don't have the stat sheet in front of me. I think they combined for 10 points to the big four in the last, 4 minutes of regulation and 13 minutes or so of overtime that was played. That's a pretty monster performance. That was more points combined than they had until the point where they started scoring here late in the game. So, this group, let's face it, we were all going to launch into a referendum on whether this was the right group of guys to get the Leafs over the top, whether changes needed to come. You know, we might still have those conversations depending what happens next, but I do think that this is a fairly strong response to what we just saw, from this group. I mean, that's what you expect, that they can, you know, use their offensive talents to bend a game in Toronto's favor. And, you know, we hadn't seen it too much. I mean, game two was a really dominant performance from the Leafs, and, you know, Matthews and Tavares were two of the better players in that game, I thought. I think Matthews has had a great series. He would have probably taken a few stray bullets had they just lost here tonight, because everyone was going to want to blame all those guys, and it probably would have been a little unfair in his case. But either way, they hadn't made a big enough difference as a collective until the end of this game, and I think it can change everything about the way they're viewed. I think this is the kind of win that can launch a team on a crazy run. And, you know, the biggest thing for them now, I think, is to get some rest. I mean, they just played 2.5 games in the last 2 days, as did the Blue Jackets, of course, and, you know, make sure they bring their best effort on Sunday, because that would be a quick way to kill any momentum they built here tonight.
I'd say with Chris Johnson breaking down this 4-3 OT win for the Maple Leafs, Austin Matthews, and suddenly Toronto has life. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick here on Leafs Nation postgame. I'm bold. You know this. Everybody knows this. I called it potentially the Kawhi moment for this incarnation of this Maple Leafs team. Remains to be seen if that is the case. But how much praise, CJ, do you think Jason Spezza should get for the way he played and more so that scrap with Dean Coogan?
Well, I'll actually give it to him more for the play than the fight. Yeah. You know, I think the fight is emblematic of his buy-in for the group. But, you know, for me, being around the team every day, it's pretty evident how much this guy cares. I mean, he signed a league minimum contract to come back here. He got railroaded by the previous coach and sat for the season opener, never complained. He played, 3 or 4 minutes in game one of this series. He was in it. He's been in it for the right reasons the whole time he's been here. And, you know, I actually thought in last night's game and in tonight's game, that fourth line gave them a lot of good offensive zone shifts. And I know they didn't score, but, you know, against Columbus, you know, that's what you're trying to do. You know, in this case, they were trying to wear down a goaltender that for a good long time there looked like he might not be beaten in Merzlikens. But also you need some quiet shifts. You know, you don't want Columbus to be, rolling around and cycling, you know, against your fourth line. And so, you know, I think that line and Spezza in particular, you know, did have some nice moments in these games and kind of dragged them into the fight a little bit. I mean, ultimately it's their top players that sort of make the miracle happen. But, you know, I think the level of belief or resolve was brought a little bit by guys like Clifford and Spezza and even Engvall, you know, who sat the first game of the series. But, you know, I just thought that they were a safety valve for Sheldon Keefe. I mean, really, they were kind of like the third line. I know everything got mixed and jumbled as it was, but, you know, it seemed to me that Keith trusted them a little bit more than he was trusting the Kerfoot line, whatever iteration it was at, you know, when they were trying to chase to get back into this game. So, I think if this is where folk heroes are made. I mean, this is part of why Jason Spezza, you know, sacrificed a lot, I think, to come back here. And, you know, even during the pause, he was part of a lot of the NHLPA talks. You know, he's got 4 daughters at home and a wife, and you know, he's missing that time with them to go in the bubble. I mean, and as I say, he played 3 minutes in game one. So I think he's made a lot of sacrifices and maybe is helping show, you know, some of the guys that haven't been through this as much or haven't had success, haven't got anywhere near, you know, winning a playoff round, what it takes to, you know, when your back is really against the wall in a playoff series.
Well, and much like after Jake Muzzin, a little break, and give the Leafs full credit, but Zach Werenski not being available, that was beyond the goaltender. Him and Seth Jones were just so shut down, and it was no coincidence that when he normally would have been out there was when some of the goals happened.
For sure. And, you know, Seth Jones was on the ice for those goals without his usual partner in the end. And, you know, this looms as a big storyline, I would say, heading into Sunday's game. I don't know. I saw the play and the replay of what we think happened to Werenski there where he got injured, but I don't know his status. I don't know if he'll be able to play, but, you know, he's a huge part of what Columbus does, and he's actually one of the guys that really gives them an edge, right? I mean, what the Leafs don't have is enough of Seth Jones and Zach Werenski and other teams too, but, you know, those guys control a lot of the game. They have a lot of freedom in the way John Tortorella lets them play. You know, obviously they're part of the defensive shutdown pairing, but they also jump into the rush a fair bit. I think they pose a threat on the power play, even though that hasn't clicked for Columbus in this series. They don't, you know, it only takes one to maybe change things in a game five. So whether or not he can play will be a huge piece of news for the Blue Jackets. And, you know, losing him midway through the third period didn't help the cause here tonight.
You're the best, CJ. Thanks so much for this. And can't wait for Sunday already.
I guess we'll talk Sunday. I was making weekend plans there, but
cancel them.
I got something else to do.
Thank you. Take care.
All right, boys.
There you have it. Chris Johnson of Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada. And to piggyback off that point, I don't think we can say enough about how important Zach Werenski is, scored to the back end of Columbus. Not to mention he had 20 goals in this season, but everything stems seemingly from the back end, whether it be Seth Jones or Zach Werenski. So very similar to our thoughts, you know, when it came to Jake Muzzin leaving the Maple Leafs lineup. You know, it's very comparable in terms of the meaning of having a Zach Werenski on the back end for the Jackets.
Yeah, the playoffs, aside from the Leafs, it really played those forwards a lot, which I think was the right thing to do. But we've said it, forwards, you know, you try to roll three or four lines. You really don't change your ice time appreciably. But, you know, Duncan Keith's been playing 27 minutes for Chicago, whatever it may be. You all of a sudden increase your stud defenseman by about another 5 minutes. And he's one of those guys, just like Jake Muzzin was that guy for Toronto.
Sheldon Keefe, Gord, you just alluded to him. Let's hear now his thoughts on just this crazy come-from-behind comeback victory to give the Maple Leafs life. Here is Sheldon Keefe.
Hey, Sheldon, it's Chris Johnson. I'm just wondering, what will you remember most about that comeback?
Just the resilience of our team, and then just how it just put new life in our group. It was pretty remarkable to be a part of it.
Next one from the media center.
Hey, Sheldon, Terry Koshan of The Sun. For Sunday now, how do you get to a point where you don't have to play like that in the last 5 minutes and maybe have some of that push, if you will, much earlier in the game than in the final stages of the third? Just for push.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I think we played a good game today. Obviously, we don't like that we got behind early. It's a much more difficult team to play against when you're behind than when you're even or ahead, of course. They've clearly established that as part of their identity. So it was a tough road for us today, but our guys played really hard. Wasn't perfect, but our guys played really hard, and it was nice to see them get rewarded.
Next one upstairs.
Josh Clipperton with CP. Sheldon, just this core has taken on its fair share of criticism. What did they show tonight?
Well, yeah, and just resilience. Just that they weren't going to quit. That they, you know, once we got one and got a little bit of life, they kept pushing. It was really nice and fitting, I think, the way that the goal was scored, the winning goal. Mitch to JT. To Austin, but this was a group effort today. There was a lot of contributions. I mean, you look at the play of our fourth line today. They were outstanding. Jason Spezza just did not want our season to end today. And he played with that level of urgency. You see the fight. I mean, that's playoff hockey. I mean, that's guys just not wanting to go down literally without a fight. So it was great. It would have been so disappointing, of course, for it to end the way that it was looking like it was going to. But, I mean, this is a funny game. Funny, funny game. And I think there's been times in this series where we haven't been rewarded, perhaps, when we should have. Had a little bit of good fortune today as a result of some of our resilience. And I thought we were pretty good in overtime and made good on our power play.
Next question.
Luke Fox, Sportsnet. Sheldon, can you describe what the mood was like in the dressing room during the second intermission and what the message to the guys was at that point?
You know what? The second intermission actually was pretty good. The first intermission, I think, was one that, you know, we had to kind of perk the guys up a little bit and get them going. First intermission, I think just the way the period went, we didn't get a whole lot and we were down, of course. The second intermission, I was actually really positive and felt good about the group. I don't know that necessarily materialized into anything productive on the ice necessarily, and a credit to Columbus for how they played defensively. But, as I said, it's crazy the way that it worked out. We've got new life here now that we were on. I mean, we were getting CPR there for a little bit, and then we found our way back, and here we go.
We'll do two more in the media center up next.
Yeah, Mark Masters, TSN. Sheldon, how would you describe what it was like with 4 minutes left in regulation? Did you sense the push coming? Did you, as the coaching staff, have to do anything to prod it out? What was your view of that moment?
I mean, Columbus was doing a terrific job, you know, of really clogging things up in the neutral zone. So we didn't have a lot of life going. We just, you know, as coaches, it's our job to get the right people on the ice. Obviously, we had to pull the goaltender a lot earlier than you would normally want to, but we just thought coming out of the TV timeout and the fact that we needed three goals and our best guys were fresh, it just made sense. And we found a way to get one in, and suddenly you get the second one, and you know, and then you're in a game. So yes, it's pretty remarkable. It's been a pretty crazy 24 hours, obviously, from what we've been through here, what we've been through as coaches and players and staff, and I'm sure fans, media, everything all the way around. It's been a very interesting and unprecedented 24 hours. So it's on us now to regroup and recover here and be ready to go for Sunday.
Last one in the media center.
Sheldon, what's really going through your mind as the way the game unfolds through the third period with them going up 3-0? What are you thinking in those moments? You've tried every line combination you could think of, it looked like. What are you thinking in those moments?
Well, I mean, once they got the third goal, obviously it's, you know, it's pretty grim. You know, you feel you're obviously in very tough. You know, I was thinking about some of the great efforts that we've had here over the last number of days that I felt maybe we weren't going to be rewarded for it. And I felt bad about that because I think we have had some individuals that have been really, really great through all of this. And then just it turns and you get a bounce and it comes and all of a sudden you are getting rewarded for that. And we've got new life, as I've said, and we're really, really excited to play on Sunday.
Even Sheldon Keefe, the head coach of the Maple Leafs, was at a loss for words as to what transpired and the CPR done for his team to come back from the dead. I always like to use the Undertaker gif on social media, but it was the best probably way for me at least to describe what happened in this one, Gord, as we give our final thoughts as we look forward to game 5. I can't believe I'm saying it, but I can't wait for it coming up on Sunday, Gordo.
Yeah, and one of those moments was when they had a 3-0 lead over Carolina the game before Christmas that was in an afternoon game, blew it, and then came back and won it. But what struck me was he started Jason Spezza first shift because Jason's four daughters were there. They could come to a 2 p.m. afternoon game, and he showed Jason Spezza the kind of respect Mike Babcock didn't get him. And little things become big things. And you know what? He got repaid by that. That was a big part of it. That was a big part of it tonight. So there's about 100 stories you and I can relate over the next 30 seconds. We need about 30 hours. So that's just one little one. And he just mentioned, I think that was one of those little additions that paid off big.
And just a reminder to all that you can catch Leafs Nation postgame once again coming up on Sunday night. Gord, excellent stuff. Get some rest. And I can't wait to talk to you on Sunday, hopefully after Maple Leafs victory.
Yeah, and it'd be great round two to get at it again, a best 4-7. Let's hope that's where it leads.
Yep, let's hope. That's Gord Stelic. I'm Nick Elberga. I'd like to thank J.R. Manitad, Sho Ali, and Sam McKee, as well as Chris Johnson for stopping by. I'm Nick Elberga. The Maple Leafs win it in OT on the back of Austin Matthews, a great one-timer on the power play, coming back from a 3-0 deficit in the last 5 minutes, and they have life. Game 5 on Sunday, and that's where we'll talk next. You've been listening to Leafs Nation postgame here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.